Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
This is the day that I do look forward to, Vision Sunday. And I look forward to Vision Sunday probably because of two main reasons. Number one, this generation that we are in today has completely lost what it is to have a vision for your life and to be driven by that vision. This generation kind of hanging out. Some have a job, most don't, and just kind of hanging out and just here and, well, I don't know. But to be driven by a vision for your life. And the next reason that I'm excited about today is the Bible is very clear. Proverbs 29:18, you perish without a vision. I don't know how much clearer that can be. A vision is your divine guidance. It's what directs and guides our life. And there's nothing more important after making Jesus Lord than to have a vision for your life. A vision forces you out of bed when you had rather stay in bed. A vision directs your life. And there's not a day that goes by that you can't find a reason to call in to work sick or for some other reason. I mean, you know, if you will think about it from head to toe, there's something on you that hurts every day that you call in. Well, I can't make it today. My head hurts, or my finger hurts, or my tummy. And I'm amazed at in the construction world that I live in. Well, where are your helpers? Well, he called in sick. Well, he called in his dog, had to go to the vet. He's not at work. We can't do what we're doing because he had to take his dog to the vet. Well, his car wouldn't start. Well, his friend's car wouldn't start. Here a few months ago, his mother-in-law was sick. With a vision, you go to work whether you feel like it or not because you're doing something. There's a direction for your life. You sense a call on your life. You understand that you are gifted and you have been gifted by God and you have been placed in the job or vocation or career, the ministry that you are in, and it is to give that gifting, whether that gifting is hanging sheetrock or pulling wire or whatever it is, you have been assigned to that place and you're fulfilling a call that's on your life, and your dog can get well on his own, or I'll take him to the vet when I get off work, but right now I got to be there. My car won't start. I'll fix it tonight when I get home. Right now, I'm going to call a friend that will get me to work because I'm going to be there. See, a vision has you there. A vision causes you to be there. With a vision, I'll be there. Without a vision, I'm not sure if I'm coming or not. See, with a vision, you wake up early and I lay in bed staring at the clock, waiting on time to get up because I'm so excited about what I've got to do that day. I'm just pacing the floor. I get up and I'm pacing the floor. Won't know why. Everybody get up. I wish y'all would. I wanted y'all down here at 6 this morning. I'm just pacing the floor down here by myself, pitch black dark. I wish y'all were here. See, I'm driven by what I want to do. Without a vision, any excuse you can find, you're going to call in, and that's why you can't come to work today. The Bible's clear. You perish without a vision. You perish, and it's easy to see why the Bible says that. If you're not going anywhere, if you're not doing anything, if you're not burning with a desire to accomplish what's in your heart to accomplish, then when confronted by the devil with sin, why not? I mean, why not? See, if you have no vision, then why not take this handful of pills that you don't really know what is? I mean, without a vision, then why not sleep with whoever's available? I mean, without a vision, why study hard? Without a vision, why not drop out? You know, without a vision, why not sleep till 10 or 11, or I just wake up whenever I wake up? Without a vision, you play video games for endless hours. I mean, if you have no vision, then you just get a job to make a little money, and then you spend it by Tuesday, and then ask your boss, could I get an advancement? Could I get some money to get me on till Friday? And I mean, you're just there. See, if you have no vision, any place on your body that might hurt or you think might start hurting, you don't go to work. This is not just a spiritual Bible verse. Proverbs could not be more true. You perish without a vision. You perish. Young people, you got to have a vision. Parents, your job in parenting is more than just feeding, clothing, and keeping them from getting run over. Your job as parents is to instill a vision as they grow up. Parents, talk regularly about what you want to do. What are you going to be? What do you think God has created you for? Clearly at 5 or 6, they won't know exactly what they're going to do. But they're starting to get an idea that God created me to do something and I need to be thinking about it. And by 10, 11, 13, you start identifying gifts. You know, I'm going to go into the medical field, or I'm going to be a teacher. I want to go into education, or I want to go into sales, or I want to go into management, or I want to go into construction, or I want to build things. See, now that's very broad, but it rules out a whole lot of other things. See, a vision is mandatory for our life, or you're just out here floating around. A vision that burns in your heart. It directs your path, and it makes decisions for you. Yeah, no doubt, I'd enjoy getting drunk right now, but I'm doing something. I'm going somewhere. Yeah, it'd be fun sleeping with this, but see, I can't because I'm going somewhere. It would feel good to. Sure, I'd like to call in sick and go fish all day long, but I can't because I got to get there. I'm doing something. See, I'm accomplishing something. There's a reason for me. A vision keeps you from perishing because it causes you to rise above feel-good temptations. That's what a vision does. If it feels good, then you do it. If you don't have a vision causes you to rise above the whim of the moment. Just like every person has got to have a vision, every company has to have a vision. Every organization has to have a vision, and every church. Every church has to have a vision. In this upcoming ministers' conference that we're going to be hosting and teaching, one of the main things that we're going to talk about is having a vision for your church and where you are going. Because without a vision, and here's where much of the church world is today, it's Sunday morning, we're a church, so we hold a service. I mean, somebody makes announcements. Somebody's going to sing, somebody's going to take up an offering, and somebody's going to say a few spiritual things, and we'll come back next week and do that again. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, see, without a vision, we have the youth, and so we all talk about going to Six Flags this summer. I mean, without a vision, children's church is just babysitting a bunch of kids while the adults are over in big church. What are you doing here? Well, what is the purpose? What is the direction? See, without a vision, you're accomplishing nothing. You're going nowhere. You are just going through the motions of living life. And for a church, many churches are just going through the motions of hosting a Sunday morning. The number one problem in the church today is there is no vision for reaching the current generation. And that's where the church is. I say that because the average age of the members of church is 65. Clearly, they have no vision for reaching this current generation. This church has a vision to reach this generation. See, our mandate from God is to make sure that we pass on the biblical standards to this next generation. But see, the church is full of 50, 60, 70, 80 year olds who had a grandmother that said, don't steal, don't you lie. See, they had a grandmother that taught us biblical foundations for living life, but because we refuse to have a vision for this generation hadn't got a clue. The church has got to have a vision, not for what we want to do, but for making sure this next generation knows God. And we at Christian Ministries Church, we see a God void in the culture today. We see a void of biblical morality in the culture today. And we're going to do something about it. I tell you, Tim, I just don't know about young people today. Where is this world going? I tell you, I don't know. My, what is going? That ain't us. We're going to do something about where this world is going. We're not going to sit around here and my. We're going to do something about the direction of this next generation and their thinking. You know, all of us in here over 50, we got it. Now, we just do. We understand what the Bible says is right, and we understand what the Bible says is wrong. Now, I'm not going to say we always do it, but us over 50, we understand. That ain't right. I mean, we understand what's right. We understand what's wrong. See, those over 50, here's what we understand. If you don't work, then you ain't getting nothing to eat. See, we understand how that works. We understand that if you don't work, then you don't eat supper tonight. See, if we don't work, we understand the electric company is going to turn that power off that comes to our house. See, we over 50, we know some things. We know God created two genders. And we over 50, when we walk to the bathroom, we know which one to go to. That's not a question for us about maybe how we feel, or we don't do a lot of analyzation about which one to go to. Over 50, we just go to the right one. And we're appalled that you don't know which is the right one. When I walk in, by what's hanging on the wall, I can identify if I'm in the right one or not. It's identifiable to me. Some over 50. All those under 30 aren't sure about any of that. They're foggy on any of that. Because they're kind of trying to figure out what bathroom they feel like using today. See, and under 30, you deserve a house and a car and a phone and food. College education is free. See, under 30, you have a right to vacations and money and health care. I mean, you just have a right. All this, because you are here, you have a right to it. See, that's why at this church, we play music that attracts people under 50. They ain't got it. There's no sense in us playing music that attracts everybody 50 and over. We got it. We play music. Well, I don't like the music here. I don't either. But we're not playing it for you and me. We're playing the music for the ones who can't figure out what bathroom to use. See, I don't like all that haze in there. That's not what I'm asking. We got some haze because it pulls people in here who don't know what to go to do during the day. I mean, sleep till 11, play a few video games. They don't know you go to work and that you need to be there on time. I mean, see, that's what we're trying to do here. Those of us over 50, we got it. Our main goal here is to make sure those under 50 get it. That's what we're doing. That's the call that's on this church's life. And to do that, there's a path that we got to take. See, we're responsible for reaching this next generation. And for some reason, the church today does not sense the responsibility to reach the other generation. See, they're not going to change their motif. They're not going to change their music. They're not going to change the way they do. They're not going to change their style. They're not going to reach. And the church doesn't feel any responsibility to reach this next generation. Therefore, this generation doesn't even know there is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They just think it's up to everybody to figure out on their own. But see, here at this church, we sense a responsibility to pass a biblical mandate to the next generation. Proverbs 17:24, in the Good News Translation, let me read it to you. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many different directions. This church is not going to start off 2017 in many different directions. Fools do that. Our vision is to reach this generation. Our vision is to reach this generation. And when we reach them, we're going to teach them to live, think, and act and respond to life in a biblical, godly manner. We're going to reach this generation, and we're going to teach them to know God, to seek God, and to follow His wisdom in their life. That's what this church's vision is. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? I talk to individuals and I see churches and I see companies that have this wonderful vision. Well, how are you going to do that? They tell me this vision and I'm overwhelmed by the big words they use. I got to know how you're going to do that. So how are you going to pull that off? That sounded good, but how are you going to... See, I'm going to go on a trip. Now, I'm not there yet. It's a long, long distance. Hours and hours and hours. And I realize we're on a 10-hour trip. 5 minutes into it, the kids in the back seat want to know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. But we need to be closer than we were when we started. Now, how you get closer than you were when you started is making the right turns in life to get you there. Now, we got a vision. This church has a vision. This church is on a mission. We are driven. Okay, now how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? Each year, we have a specific vision to do that. Christian Ministries Church never wants to be guilty of having no vision. Christian Ministries Church never wants to be guilty of having a broad, far-reaching vision and no short-term 1-2-3s on how we're going to pull that off. So each year, we have to have a very specific vision that is going to get us one step closer to our long-term vision. Our long-term vision is going to outlast my life. That's turning this generation around. That's going to take longer than I've got left to live. I understand that. But I want to get us closer and closer each year. So what are we going to do right now? That's a wonderful vision. Great. What are you going to do in the morning? That was impressive. What are you going to do right now? What are you doing in your... Well, I want to be... That's great. What are you doing right now to get you one day closer to that? So when we start in here, we're not just going through the motions of a Sunday morning. We're going to have a path that we're on. We're going to have a direct... Well, Tim, you don't preach on this. Well, that's because it's not on the path that we're on right now. Well, Tim, you don't talk about that because it's not on the path that we're on right now. Well, Tim, why don't we do this? Why don't you... See, there's lots of good ideas out here, and there's a lot of great sermons. I mean, there are lots and lots of great sermons, but there's a path that we're on. There's a direction that we're on, and you can know when you come in here on Sunday morning, I have not just pulled out of my repertoire a sermon that I hadn't preached in a long time. When you come in here, you can know we're on a path, and this Sunday we'll build on next Sunday, we'll build on last Sunday. There's a direction to what we're doing here. We got a short-term goal how to get there. 2016, our goal on how to get one step closer to the vision that we had produced a theme for us. And in 2016, our theme was Jesus is Lord. And all year long in 2016, in one way or another, we addressed making Jesus Lord of your life. If the sermon on hell is scary enough, and if the preacher can spit enough, and if he can paint a picture about burning in hell, and then he tells everybody to bow their head and close their eyes, you will slip your hand up. If he can convince you how hot it is, he can get you to respond. He can make you respond. And the church has done that without communicating what it is to make Jesus Lord of your life. It's not about avoiding hell and slipping a hand up. It's about a death, a burial, a death to an old man, a death to an old nature, a no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. See, we quickly got a hand slipped up because you don't want to go to hell, and we tried to make Jesus our Savior, but no one got around to talking to you about making Jesus Lord of your life. Lord of your life. In fact, as I've read the Bible, I don't know that the Bible says that he can be Savior without being Lord. 629 times the New Testament refers to Jesus as Lord. See, it's not a repeating of a two-sentence dialogue. It's a death to your old nature and who you used to be, and you are born again. You are born again where your old friends from your old life may or may not really even recognize you. There's been such a dramatic change in your life. You've been born again. You've been born again. See, the church has not led us to the understanding of it's not my will any longer, but it's yours be done. You ask people under 30, why did you do that? Whoa. Why did you do that? Here's what you're going to get. Felt like it. Why did you do that? Wanted to. Why did you do that? Felt good. Why did you do that? We loved each other. Why did you do that? He made me so mad. See, what you got to understand is those are not decision makers. I get it that he made you mad. I understand that feels good. But those are not decision makers on what your next action is going to be. See, you live a life where it's not my will. It's not my will, but it is His will be done. You come to a place in your life where you've done your will. You've done it your way, and you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Darren and I were talking the other day, and we both said, you know what? That guy just needs to go on back out there and get him a good belly full of it. Look, you come to a place where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. I've had a belly full of that life. I don't want no more of that life. I am ready for a change. That's somebody who's ready to be born again. That's not avoiding burning in hell for eternity. I'm talking about avoiding the hell you're living in right now. You make Jesus Lord of your life. You come to a place where my way's not working out. My way's got me unhappy. My way's got me in jail. My way's got me fired. My way's got me divorced. My way has not worked out in my life. I need to live His way. I need to live His way. 2016 was a was a big year. And for me to say 2016 was a big year for our church is an understatement, because how do you state the importance of somebody making Jesus Lord of their life? Wow, that's as important as it comes. 2016, our specific step in getting this generation back to a godly life was getting people to make Jesus Lord of their life, where they and their flesh and their will and their emotions and their whim did not make decisions, but Jesus became L-O-R-D, Lord of their life. The calendar rolls to 2017. Now where do we go? We've got a church full of people who have made Jesus Lord of their life. Now where do we go from here? We spent a year making sure that everybody in here has made Jesus Lord. And it wasn't just at the end of one of my sermons where we dimmed the lights, but it was after a year. It was after 6 months. And finally, people begin to come to the place of, you know what, I need to change Lords in my life. See, there was a change that took place over a year of talking about this and talking about this. In a year's time, people came to the place where I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. The calendar rolls to 2017. We've spent a year making Jesus Lord of your life. Now what are we going to do? Where do we go? Well, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, what happens is you become righteous. It's a word that we're going to talk about and teach on quite a bit this year, but it's a word that we don't really have a handle on. Are you righteous? I'm far from. We do all these weird things. Are you righteous? See, we got the idea that you being righteous is how perfect you've been. And we all are very well aware of our imperfections. And so when somebody asks us, are we righteous? Then we go through all of these motions with all of our imperfections flashing around in our head. And we fail to understand that you will never achieve right standing with God ever in your life in the flesh. That you are righteous because of the blood of Jesus that paid the price for your sins. And when somebody asks you, are you righteous, before you take a breath with a big grin on your face, you need to say, you bet I am. Absolutely I am righteous. You bet I'm righteous because Jesus has given me right standing with God. See, your righteousness has nothing to do with your past. It has nothing to do with the way you've acted or what you've done. It has everything to do with Him. Are you righteous? You bet I am. Jesus, Lord of my life, has made me righteous. The Bible uses the phrase, you've been given clean hands. Your hands are clean. That's another way of putting what Jesus has done for us. We are made right with God. I am righteous and my hands are clean. Not because of I'm perfect. You understand what I'm saying? I am righteous and my hands are clean because I've made Jesus Lord of my life. Now, you're righteous. Your hands are clean. As a result of 2016, we made Jesus Lord. We're righteous. Our hands are clean. Okay, where do we go from here? As we look at the scripture, there really is only one direction for us to go. As we look at this, there's only one place for us to go. Our verse for 2017 is Job 17, verse 9. Job 17, verse 9. This will be a verse that you're going to memorize this year. This will be a verse as next week you can go out into the foyer and you can order you a t-shirt with your right size that's going to have this verse. Job 17 verse 9, we're going to have it on our t-shirt, we're going to have it on our bill, we're going to have it everywhere. It's our theme verse for this year. It says, the righteous, that's us who after 2016 have made Jesus Lord, the righteous keep moving forward. And those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. 2017, our vision is stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. For the members of this church, for those that will lock in here with us and come in here week in and week out, those members that will be a part of this church for the year of 2017, it's going to be one of the most dramatic, life-changing years in your whole life, because we are going to get stronger and stronger. Stronger and stronger. Your prayer life is going to get stronger. Your understanding of the Word is going to get stronger and stronger. Your relationship with the Lord is going to get stronger and stronger. When that happens, your marriages get stronger and stronger. Relationship with teenagers get stronger and stronger. Teens and their response in the house is going to get stronger and stronger. See Job 17:9. The righteous, they keep moving forward. And those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Now the key to this, and here's why I'm so excited about this vision, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food, listen to this, because you weren't strong enough. When I read that, was no doubt in my mind the vision, the theme, and the direction for 2017. There are things that God has for you. There are things that God has for you and I that you're simply not strong enough to receive. You're not strong enough to receive it, to grasp it, or to understand it. Consequently, there are things that God has for us that we don't have access to. And that's going to change in 2017, because we're going to get stronger and stronger. And we're going to get strong enough to access all that God has for us. And then that will begin to manifest itself in our homes, our finances, our kids, our teenagers, our level of peace, our level of joy. Here's why I'm so excited as we get stronger and stronger. The reason I'm so excited about this is because major breakthroughs are going to happen in people's lives that you have prayed about for years. See, major breakthroughs, there are things that you have prayed over and wallowed with and dealt with in your personal life, in your family, in your home. There are issues that you have dealt with in your life. And as you get stronger and stronger, there's going to be major breakthroughs that are going to happen in people's lives in this church that they have struggled with for years. 2017, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Now, this has gone all over me because 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it refers to believers. It refers to God's people. It refers to us in the church. I had to talk to you as though you weren't even saved. I had to talk to you as though you belong to the world. God has had to deal with us as though we were infants in Christ. I mean, the milk of the Word. Why? Because we're not strong enough to handle what He has for us. So I have four grandkids, and I spend a lot of time with them. And I am aware that there are things out here in this physical world that when they get stronger, they will have access to. One day they'll have the fun, the privilege, the blessings of owning their own home. They'll have the blessing of buying a plane ticket and flying wherever they want to fly. They'll have the blessing of renting a house on the beach and going and staying for a week on the beach. There's on and on things that life affords them that they're not strong enough to have access to right now. And just like that is an example in the realm of the physical, so it is in the realm of the Spirit that makes everything happen for us. In the realm of the Spirit, God has a life for you and I to live. A life full of His presence, a prayer life that gets things done, a level of peace and a level of joy that often eludes us, a level of stress that is completely gone in our life. There is a level that we live without any pressure in the presence of God, and we simply can't access that because we're not strong enough to. And when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm aware there are things in this life that God has for me that I don't have access to simply because I'm not strong enough. But when I read Job chapter 17, I become aware those that have been made righteous, they keep moving forward. They keep moving forward. Those that have clean hands become stronger and stronger. And the stronger we get in this church, the richer our diet will become. God's ability to download things to you is going to move from milk to a much stronger diet. You're going to get on a new level with God and in your relationship with Him. Christian Ministries Church, we're moving forward. We're moving forward. And I'm excited about 2017. I'm excited for individual members that go here. I'm also excited about our church corporately. Because as we corporately and as we as individuals in our relationship with the Lord get stronger and stronger. Our relationship with the Lord gets stronger and stronger. It's going to be amazing what's going to happen. And we're going to watch visible manifestations of breakthroughs take place in your life. In your life. If you're not excited, you need to get excited. Because here's what I'm telling you. As we get stronger and stronger, things that you have needed to happen in your life are going to happen for you this year. Things that you have prayed for and prayed for, there are things that you desperately need to happen for you. As we get stronger and stronger, we're going to experience breakthroughs. Our knowledge of God, our understanding of His will, of His plan, of His purpose, that's going to grow. We're going to get, in 2017, a manifestation of the hand of God's move in our life. Because we're moving from milk drinkers to mature saints. What's going to happen for us is we're going to get stronger and stronger. Y'all stand. Lord, today as we embark on this vision and this direction and this plan, Lord, as week in and week out this year, as we come here and we get stronger and we get stronger, Lord, today we submit our will to You. God, not my will, but Yours be done. Father, today, as we have made You Lord of our life, we continue to turn lordship of our life to You, and we look forward to all that You have for us this year as we grow stronger and stronger. Direct and guide us as we grow in You. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.